Katner Shabbat. That's the proper pronunciation. Okay, so I'm glad there are many ladies here, because we know that the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Shabbat is one which the women have taken upon themselves as one of the mitzvahs habayis. The mitzvahs habayis is the primary responsibility of the Eish Chayil. Although from the strict halachic perspective, there's no real distinction between men and women. It's a what we call a chovas gavra. Every person over the age of 13 or 12 is required to fulfill this mitzvah. We should see some of the restrictions, as well as what we call a chovas habayis, an obligation that it should not be dark, so people shouldn't trip. So the idea of people not tripping is satisfied as long as it's light outside. Somehow or other, you make light that people shouldn't trip. You satisfy this obligation, although, in order to satisfy it in the proper way, the candles should be lit at the proper time. The proper time to light the candles is obviously before Shabbat starts, that's obvious. But it's also after what we call Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter of relative hours before the sun sets. In the summertime, like right now, it's close to an hour and a half, because every hour is longer. In the day, so really the days are longer than the nights. So that's the proper time for this to be done, and irrespective of the personal obligation, but even if the person has no personal obligation for whatever reason, but if you don't put on a candle or a light, you're going to trip, so you should put that on. It's a better time to put it on would be after Plag HaMincha and before the sun sets. By the way, if you have a question, raise your hand. This is going to be a monologue. Okay? I like when people interrupt me. Good, as long as it makes sense. Raise your hand, I'll call it. That's number one. But aside from the obligation that it shouldn't trip, there's also a personal obligation, as we said before. However, the nature of this personal obligation is very similar to something which we find in a different context. Who wants a guess? Nobody? No guesses? Ner Chanukah. Who knows what the next three words in the Gemara after the words Mitzvahs Chanukah, and we know what the next three words are? Okay. Ner Ish Ubeiso. The obligation is an obligation upon every individual and the household. That means it's a household obligation. It's not a personal obligation as such. It's a household obligation. And therefore, if one candle is lit for the entire household, every member of that household discharges his or her obligation. So too in Ner Chanukah. You probably are aware of the fact that Ner Chanukah, strictly speaking, is enough to have one candle. We go from 1 to 8. And we also have customs about everyone lighting. But technically speaking, Ner Ish Ubeiso means as long as it's one candle for the entire household, the mitzvah is properly fulfilled. And in my view, there's a very strong correlation between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Everyone agrees there's a correlation. Not everyone agrees on the strength of the correlation, as we shall see momentarily. Okay, so got it straight. There are two obligations. An obligation which is every household has to fulfill it, and an obligation it should, one shouldn't trip. I'm speaking to an audience of primarily individuals who are single living at home. Is that correct? More or less living at home. Doesn't mean you're not in the dorm. You could be in the dorm and still live at home. How could that be? You know, because if you have to go home, there's always a pillow for you with a bed with a warm meal. You're still a member of your household until you get married. That's a general rule. Okay? So you're a member of your household. As such, if you're privileged to have a mother who lights candles, not everyone has that privilege. If you're privileged to have a mother who lights candles, you discharge your personal obligation by being a member of the household in which the Eim HaBayis, the Eish HaChayil, lights candles. And that works for everybody. And in my view, works for everybody no matter where the geographical location of the person happens to be. In other words, for argument's sake, let's say one, just to give an extreme example, one lives in Eretz Yisrael and is visiting here in America. Anyone here from Eretz Yisrael in the room? No? There's a lot of Israelis here. Okay.
Not yet.
Burmans here.
Huh? Not yet.
Not yet Israelis. Okay. There are many, many Israelis here, I'm told, but I guess none of them made it. They don't understand English. So they should hear Hebrew next time, if they want to come. Okay. Anyway, so the person lives in Eretz Yisrael, and let's say for argument's sake, father and mother in Israel, and then the son or daughter is in America. So at the time that the mother lit candles in Yerushalayim, at, let's say for argument's sake now, 7:30 in the evening, it's only 12:30 in the afternoon here in the United States of America. So how can I say that they fulfill the obligation when they're lighting the candles before, it's not even noon yet? halacha, it's before chatzoser, doesn't matter in my opinion, because it's an obligation on the household. And if it's an obligation on the household, you are part of that household, even though you're 7,000 miles away, and therefore you can fulfill your personal obligation by having your mother light in home, at home. It has to be home. If your mother goes away from home that Shabbos, you're in trouble. If she goes away from home, then even though she may be lighting somewhere else, but she's not lighting at home, you can't say, well, I'm part of home, and she's not home. So a person should keep track of where the mother is lighting in such circumstances with respect to the personal obligation. All right? So far, so good? Not everyone agrees with me. Some say it's impossible, it's crazy that you can fulfill the obligation when it's done at a time, and for you it's still Friday morning. Yes?
Does it work in the opposite direction if they start Shabbos after?
That's easier. That's a lesser chiddush. Because if, let's say, for argument's sake, the woman is in Eretz Yisrael, and the mother is in America, so the candle's being lit on Shabbos. Now, of course, if you're in Israel, you can't light that because it's Shabbos for you. But in theory, it's a Ner Shabbos. The truth is that that conversation sits primarily for Ner Hanukkah. There, it's no problem lighting at night, although maybe too late is a problem too. But anyway, it doesn't matter which way it goes. Either way, it's a logistical problem. Either way, it's solved by this definition, which again, others disagree with. But I'm giving you my opinion on these matters. I'll tell you what are other opinions. I'll try to be as transparent as possible. I don't want to give you one person's opinion. The others disagree, and feel free to follow a different view. Okay? So someone broke the ice and raised their hand. No? No one else? Okay. Feel free to ask more questions. Good. Fine. So let's say, for argument's sake, someone's mother's lighting at home, and you're here in Camp Morasha. You don't want a trip. You don't want a trip. The answer is that most people, like to sleep in the dark. Who likes to sleep with the light on? Raise your hand. Nobody. Nobody likes to sleep in the dark. On the other hand, you don't want a trip. So what do you do? How do you figure this one out? So what usually happens is there's some kind of light somewhere else which sheds some light in the room where you're sleeping. Gives you enough. Usually that room is called the bathroom, which is not the most bekovedic room to light Nerus. But I guess I should jump ahead of myself. My view is that electric lights work for Ner Shabbos. I should spell it out up front. Not everyone agrees with that either. And in my view, it even doesn't matter if it's incandescent or fluorescent. As long as it's light, it's light. It's not Hanukkah, it's a Shabbos. Hanukkah requires a wick, not Shabbos. As long as it's light. And therefore, if you have lights in the bathroom, which shine into your bedroom where you're sleeping, that should suffice, so you shouldn't trip. As far as the personal obligation, so you have to fulfill it either through your mother or some other member of the household who's lighting in the house, or if no one is, you should try to do it by yourself. So how do you do it by yourself? So you can in effect light in the bathroom. You don't make a bracha in the bathroom. It's not a nice place to make a bracha there, really. So you can light it and then walk out of the bathroom and make a bracha. Our custom is usually to make the bracha after we light the candles. We'll see soon why, although they may be accepted and otherwise. In short, the obligation not to trip is satisfied with the light in the bathroom or the porch or some other place here in camp. So there should be enough light, you shouldn't trip. But you don't want the light to be on in the room because you want to sleep in the dark. Now, there are all these Shabbos lights now. Make sure you get the right ones. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
Christy balls.
You know about the one that had plastic? What happened? What was it? Churban. Caught on fire. It was a total disaster. Don't buy. It has to. It's very serious now. This really happened. A real live story. Caught on fire. It was about to caught on fire. Smoke, and somebody was not supposed to be there, was there, and pull out the plug. It was a sakonis tafashis. This happened with Ner Chanukah some years back. And instead of making glass, I made it plastic. It melted right through. It happened in my house. It happened to me right in front of my eyes. Just started a fire. I mean, fell down off the menorah. But be careful when you buy things. Make sure they're safe. Yes, sir?
The text of the bracha is Ner, not R. So how are you going to make like Ner on light?
Well, what is in there?
Fire?
No, there's not fire. There is a candle. Everything qualifies as a candle, in my opinion. Okay? The others disagree. I'm not against you, but I'm saying that in my view, anything works as long as it sheds light. So therefore, if your mother's not home and you have a personal obligation, so maybe you should be the one to flick the lights on in the whatever porch, bathroom, side room, any other room, because you don't really want to have it in your room. Or if you have a safe Shabbos light in your own room, you can turn the, you know, the way you turn them, and then they block. Everyone knows what I'm saying. That would be preferred. If you have many people there, they can't all do it. There's not enough lights to go around. So there's a possibility of joining together. It's called Mishtate Papruti. What used to be done in the old years with respect to Ner Chanukah. There are such situations. I'll give an example. My wife comes to camp, so of course she lights it, no problem. If my wife would stay at home, I'd also have no problem. Just have to worry about tripping, but that wouldn't be much of a problem. But if my wife, as I think the Shabbos is going to go away and not come here, then I have a personal obligation. She's not lighting at home. She's lighting the water home or something. That doesn't help me. So I have to light myself. What I do is I just take the, I usually use a hall light, and I, if it was on before, I flip it off, because you have to light it. You have to plug a mincha. So I flip it off, and I make a bracha halak le'ershal Shabbos, and I flip it on again. That's all. I want to tell you, there are many people who consider the candles that we have nowadays to be ineffective as Ner Shabbos. Why? In the old days, it was the candles that gave the illumination, so you should be able to eat and enjoy yourself and not trip. Today, we have illumination from our electric chandeliers and other lights on top of us, in which case the candles don't accomplish much. There's an expression in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, Shraga b'tiara mayahani. A candle, and when the sun is out, what does it do? You put a light candle in at high noon. What does a candle add? It's infinitesimal compared to the sunlight. It's nothing. So it's also pretty small compared to the electric lights that are on our ceilings and elsewhere. So there are many poskim who say that would be a bracha levatola. That's how far as they go, some of them, if you would make a bracha on a regular candle in the presence of an electric light. The solution to that, according to those authorities, and it's good for everybody, is to every Shabbos, not just now, before you light the candles, take the electric lights, flip them off, flip them back on again, and then light the regular candles, and the hadlokas and neros, the kabrut, the bracha, you have in mind both. You have in mind the candles that you lit, as well as the electric light, which you just also, in effect, lit a few minutes before. Understand what I'm saying? This is the recommended procedure. For everybody who's lighting candles when there are electric lights in the room, which is almost always nowadays, it's much better that way. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is a more lenient. He says, you know what? The candles add to the ambiance, and therefore you can make a bracha on them, even though they're not adding much illumination. Yes?
You said that you would flip lights off, then flip them back on and make the bracha. So what happens if then after you do that, like someone else flips lights off?
So he undid you. So that's not so good.
Do you have to do it again?
No. You lit at the time. You lit. Someone blows out your regular candles. If they go out, it happens in the Chanukah also. Kof sein zokokol at Chanukah. But people should be aware that if you already made a bracha on it and flipped it off and on, they shouldn't do it again. If they want to do it again, it's okay, but better not to be done again. Okay? Good. So far, so good. Everyone follow me? Going fast. There's a lot to talk about.
What would be the exit if you have a lot of people lighting in one house in that regard?
That's a problem. So the minig Yisrael is to be lenient and have many, many women lighting in the same dining room. It's questionable, but any married women in the room? No. Married women like to light candles. Tell a married woman not to light candles, like telling her, I don't know what. She doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. It's their mitzvah. They don't want to be told differently. So it's a problem. It really is a problem. It reaches extreme proportions. People go to hotels and they totally disallow lighting in your own private room, and I understand that for fire safety. And they, instead of letting you light in the dining room, they make a special room just for candles. It's a candle lighting room. I call it the towering inferno. There can be hundreds of candles. It's so hot even to walk in. If you ask me, it's certainly a bracha levatola. It makes no sense to light it. It's crazy. But she wants the light. Too bad. I can't help it. Don't go to the hotel. Stay home. Home is no place. If you never stay home, there's no place like home. For many reasons. Asher Eshev Eisech. There's also places to be the same. Now, if you do go to a hotel, I've been in hotels in my time for bar mitzvahs and simchas, etc. So my wife does what? She lights it in the bathroom, and she walks out, you know, in the hall, wherever, you know, it's not going to disturb our sleep. She makes a bracha right there. She doesn't light candles. You know, when she lights candles here in Camp Lo Rasha, she does in effect the same thing. She'll flip the lights off and on in the hall, but she likes light candles too. So then she walks to the dining room across the road, tries not to be mafsik, if it's responsible, and she lights there. She has in mind when she lights there, not just those two candles don't do too much. I mean, at least they're in the dining room, but they're not exactly on the table. They're in one place, they're not off in the kitchen. But at least you can see them when we eat. But that's not so great. You know, it's a borderline. But she has in mind when she lights those candles that the bracha is going not only on those candles, but also, if you ask me, primarily on the hall light, the fluorescent hall light that she lit in my bunk, which is the main way that Ner Shabbos is fulfilled. Got it straight?
So in a house also, try to light the bathroom near your bedroom or something.
Well, you can light, you know, wherever, you know. You're talking about your house here in camp?
No, let's say somebody's house. You're at your parents of multiple
marriages. If it's not your own house, it's someone else's house. Right. Yeah, there are many women who want to light candles, so if we have a guest for Shabbos somewhere else, we'll do the same thing. She flicks the light in the bathroom or in the hall near where we're staying upstairs somewhere, and then if she wants, she lights downstairs as well. As the case may be, we'll see soon, there could be complications. So far, any questions? Feel free to ask. Okay, so far, so good. What if a woman forgets to light candles? Oh, the Ramah quotes a knas, a fine that they imposed upon the woman who doesn't forget to light candles, just to light an extra candle for the rest of her life. I'm not a fan of that. It's a fire hazard. You know, there are disputes. I don't do my phone. I'm sorry, I have a new phone and I don't know how to turn it off. Forgive me for this inconvenience of trying to turn this thing off. It's a fire hazard. There are different customs. Some women light two candles, period. And some light a candle for every child. By show of hands, whose mother lights a total of two candles? Raise your hand. Who lights a plus one for each child? Raise your hand. Oh my. Well, I can't say my mother also did that. But my mother-in-law did not. And here I give a psak, that although you normally follow the husband's customs, when it comes to Ner Shabbos, you should really follow the wife's customs, because Ner Shabbos has nothing to do with the husband. Right? I don't have a little bit. So my wife thankfully follows her mother's custom, which is safer, not only total of two candles. I have a cousin who had a different custom. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Not only for one child, every grandchild. Who's ever seen that custom? Okay, now if you have double-digit children, each of them have double-digit children, you run into triple-digit candles. Very simple math. One of the sons, there was a fire. I mean, it could have been fatal. I think the whole house burned down, but somehow she woke up, or someone woke up and was sleeping. And then someone woke up and everyone ran out of the house. House burned down, almost down, and they, thank God, they rebuilt it for Chule. So I'm not a big fan of these multiple candles. It's literally dangerous. But you know, customs are customs. Safety first. That's my view when it comes to these things. Safety first. There are those who will not even leave two candles unattended if you're going out to eat or something like that. Which leads me to my next big machlokes. Someone goes out to eat, where it's supposed to light candles. So I am consistent. As I told you before, the strong correlation between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. So in my view, the proper place to light Ner Shabbos is the same as the proper place to light Ner Chanukah. In Chanukah, almost all the poskim say that if a person sleeps at home and happens to be going out to eat somewhere, you can't light where you eat. That's not your home. You're always where you sleep. That's your permanent home. Where you eat is just you're eating out from one meal. That's not really your home. That's the consensus plot with respect to Ner Chanukah. In my view, that's the correct plot when it comes to Ner Shabbos as well. It's not your home. You're just eating out one meal there. It's not your home. However, the sefer called the Chovas Adar, Rabbi Bloy, is the front of the bracha from Yerushalayim, one of the great gedolim of the past generation. He disagrees with me, and he says no. Ner Shabbos is different than Ner Chanukah. Why? Because Ner Shabbos has a special connection to the meal. Poskim say the proper place to light the Ner Shabbos is in the room where you're eating, not the room where you're learning or something else afterwards. And therefore, as opposed to Ner Chanukah, which Ner Rishus Nishtanish Ben, when it comes to Ner Shabbos, which you're supposed to use, and supposed to light up the room where you're eating, so therefore, if I sleep at home and I eat in someone else's house, I may light Ner Shabbos there. Of course, I have to get there before Shabbos, obviously. But that's another leniency, which although I'm not so happy with it, but many great rabbis think it's true. So if a woman is stuck, so I guess she can rely on that opinion, and light the Ner Shabbos in the home where she's eating, as opposed to where she's sleeping. Now if she's sleeping, and she's just using Ner Shabbos, the regular candle, and not using the electric light, and by the time she comes home, the Ner Shabbos went out already, because they don't last that long, that's another bracha levatola problem, because she lit a candle, left, okay, came back 6 hours later from a long dinner out, and then it's fire, the candle's extinguished already. So what? She had no hanah, no gain, no benefit at all from that candle. So that's a various problem. I don't know, get longer lasting candles, or don't go out to eat so long. But the real solution, of course, is use the electric lights, if you accept my position. Now, that's the way that those lights are on the whole Shabbos, so you're in much better shape. So far, so good? No questions?
Question.
Yeah.
Do you need to, to actually use the candle or just to be there with the candle?
Well, again, according to many poskim, the candle is useless if there's electric lights, even if you sit there for 24 hours. I can't help you in that case. But if you assume that the ambiance is what's good enough, which Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that way, so then presumably sitting around the candle for a period of time would suffice. It's interesting that it's quoted la halacha in Shulchan Aruch, when a woman lights candles, she accepts Shabbos automatically accepts Shabbos. This goes back to the Baal Halachas Gedolos, goes back to 1,000 years. Not clear why that should be so. A condition may be made, in which case that will be passed on halacha. You make a condition in which you light candles now, but you say explicitly, it's better to say it, you can also think it, but saying is always better, I'm lighting candles now, but I'm not accepting Shabbos until later. We pass on that works. Again, not everyone agrees. That works. Yes?
With the hanah from the candle, if after the woman lights it, she just reads like a page of a book next to the candle and then goes out to dinner, would that solve the bracha levatola?
It may solve it to some extent. Of course, the question is, she's really, really reading the book with that light. That light is nothing. She really reads the electric light. So ambiance works for Suda Shabbos. The ambiance works just to read a book for a minute. I don't know. Maybe if you sit around for an hour. These are hard things to quantify because the whole view is not exactly persuasive. I'll just explain to you what some of the halachas over here. Okay? I brought only one sefer called the Shmir Shabbos Kilchosa Chelik Beis, which is what we'll be using for the series. It's all about exactly this topic of Mitzvah of Seishal Shabbos, and I'm just going to go slowly. Halachas Ner Shabbos has a number of important chapters, and we're going to try to go through some of the halachas now as we go, without going into every last detail. Okay. Yes.
Give you a little bit of a crazy case.
Yeah.
Let's say the wife lights candles, accepts Shabbos, doesn't get hanah from the candles yet. Mm-hmm. Her husband, who hasn't accepted Shabbos, he's going to a later minyan, whatever it may be, starts, let's say, reading next to it. Let's say the house is somewhat dark, it's a dark room, whatever. And then he leaves the shul, he hasn't accepted Shabbos. So has.
That won't help, because no one has any hanah on Shabbos.
Chandel
before Shabbos. That's no good. Okay. Let me go further. My view is that the knas, which is found in the Ramah, only applies when they're sitting in the dark, which means it does not apply nowadays. And I have some tentative endorsement from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos. This is Perek Mem Gimel in footnote Lamed. He quotes this quote knas from the Ramah. It says this is a knas to add another candle, and he says he doesn't think it applies nowadays where there is electric lights and she forgot to light a candle. Should we make a knas in that kind of a case? I think the answer to the question is no. Knas only applied at Reish Samach Gimel Sefalach in the Ramah. She should be careful and you shouldn't sit in the dark. So my view is that knas does not apply nowadays. Of course, I'm a little biased. I don't want there to be a safety hazard, so I told you my bias up front. Okay. Fine. A little further. There is a custom in some houses that all women who reach the age of chinuch light Ner Shabbos over and above that which the mother lit. Anyone in this room have had that custom? Chabad? That's like that. They're into it big time. They're big at the candles. Oh, brisk. This also maybe in that. I'm not. I'm very far from that school of thought. I don't think it's a great idea for a whole variety of reasons. Anyway, there are some who say you should not light candles less than 18 minutes before the sunset. That's a famous candle lighting time. You know, it's called Lichtbenchen or Lichtzinden or candle lighting. It has different names everywhere. Look, it's a good custom, but I've seen that many, many, many women are not able to keep it. They're running behind schedule. Okay? But how much, how close can you call it? So my view is, it's less than 5 minutes before the post time for the sunset, she shouldn't light. Too close to call. Number one is the mitzvah we call Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Shabbos is a mitzvah saseh, one of the things we have to discuss today, is to add to the Shabbos. How much must you add to the Shabbos? So, you know, in camp you make early Shabbos, you can add an hour and a half to Shabbos. Well, it's a large amount of time, but that's not a requirement. But Moshe writes the requirement is 2 minutes. That's it, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Where do you get 2 minutes from? I can give you my own guess. The Mishnah says in Shabbos in the first parak, V'chulam Beis Hillel Matirin Im HaShemesh. Beis Hillel allows the post of Beis Shammai as long as the sun is still there. Now, how can we then prohibit Tosef HaShabbos as long as the sun is there? The Mishnah says it's okay. So one possible answer is there means it's fully there. The whole great ball of fire is visible. Once it starts to sink beneath the horizon, it's not Im HaShemesh anymore. That takes between 2 and 3 minutes for the sun to set from the top to the bottom. So hence my suggestion where the 2 minutes comes from. Again, I'm not saying for sure. You have to also be aware of the fact that your chart could be wrong and your clock could be wrong. Yeah, that's where you should add another 2 minutes. And then, so I always say 5 minutes is really the cutoff point as far as I'm concerned. If you're later than that, you shouldn't lie. We had a case last year in Camp Morasha. Another important lesson. Don't trust Waze, the last bit. Ever know that by now? Some holy rabbis entrusted Waze, and it took her in cow paths. She was in Hancock and plenty of time to get here. But she went with Waze here, there, everywhere. Mamish, I'm on the phone. That's right before the skier. She pulled in, I should say, as the sun was setting. Mamish with a car full of kids, as the sun was setting, it was very, very, very tense. Then she said, can I light candles? I said, what? I told the husband to light first for her. I was saying, yeah, Baruch Hashem, she listened to me. She light. But they're so desperate to light candles. It's Shabbos. Yes.
What about Tosef Shabbos, like after Shabbos?
That's a good question. Tosef Shabbos after Shabbos, it's not clear how long it has to be. You know why it's not so clear? No one knows exactly when Shabbos ends. Before Tosefos, we assume, that's our assumption, once the sun sets beneath the horizon, Shabbos begins. It's called Ben HaShemashos. So we can count Tosefos. You need to have a very strong line from which to begin. 2 minutes before the sun sets. Fine. Do you know exactly when Shabbos ends? Anybody know? No one knows. Depends when 3 stars come out. But you have to have a Tosefos until the three, it's called Kochavim Ritzufim. 3 stars which are bunched together closely come out. Who knows when stars come out here before? Have you ever looked for stars here in Camp Marisha? Looking in camp is a very good place to look. Yes?
No, just during Tosef HaShabbos, isn't the Makor from Yom Kippur, which would mean that Tosef whatever would have to be from the 9th to the 10th, aka from before going into, not from afterwards?
100%. But since it's Me'erev at Erev Tishrei Shel Shabbatchem, Tishrei L'Chodesh Me'erev, that's where the source for the Tosef is at the beginning, but the Gemara has a source for Tosef at the end as well. No question, same Gemara. But I recommend, can I deputize everybody here? Everyone have a deputy? Okay. Come back next week and tell me how many minutes after sunset you saw three stars. We had two expeditions in Kol history, years apart. We went to what they call the Har Hashem. Liyala Bahar Hashem, that's now the Har HaSusim now, but it used to be called the Har Hashem. But Eilev Erechav, Eilev HaSusim, Nav HaShem HaShem, Lekananaski. They called Har HaSusim, we called Har Hashem. So, and they went up and they did experiments, and I have it in my house. The second one, they actually wrote down the results of the experiment. It gives you a good idea, because here, number one, there's no artificial light, which you have in the city everywhere. And number two, there's no smog, which you have in the city everywhere. So that's why in the city it's completely impossible to get an accurate reading. I'm not going to give away any numbers. But you come back to me next week and tell me the number. I'm going to have it longer took you to find three stars up in the sky somewhere. So we'll tell you when Shabbos is over. It's that plus some time for Tosef and Shabbos. All right? And possibility of error. So you have to be careful. But I'm counting on you for next week to give me the stats. Oh, if you won't, I'll tell you my stats. From years ago here in Kiryat Maharasha. Remember, now it's the summertime, which things takes a little bit longer than it does in the springtime. That's part of the amazing astronomy and science that's attached to it. But we're not going to that right now. Okay, fine. Let's go further. The idea of Kabbalah Shabbos upon Hadlakas Neiros is, especially as I mentioned before, relevant with respect to women. No one knows exactly why. Why should it be? I'll give you a pshat. There are some Rishonim, early authorities, who maintain that Tosefet Shabbos requires an absolutely formal acceptance of Shabbos with a bracha. Now, there are three possible brachas that can be made. One is davening Maariv, Mekadesh HaShabbos. One is Kiddush, Mekadesh HaShabbos. And one is, according to our custom, Lahadik Ner Shel Shabbos. Each of these three would suffice, according to these Rishonim, to fulfill the positive commandment to accept Shabbos. And I believe it's for this reason that's really the bracha that is the Kabbalah Shabbos. And that's exactly why the custom has arisen to make the bracha after you lit. Because before you light, when you say the bracha, it's Shabbos already, then you can't light afterwards. That's the basis of the custom. Now, our custom is not to follow this view. Otherwise, all the men would be in trouble. In the old years, the men had a custom of doing what we call today early Shabbos, all year long. The Aruch HaShulchan instituted in Navardik, where he lived, to avoid Chilul Shabbos, early Shabbos all year long. And you go tell American Balabatim in the wintertime, when the sun sets at 4:30, that they have to come to Daven Maariv at 4 o'clock. See how long that's going to last. So we don't, unfortunately, as my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik said, we let us show me Shabbos these days, but he doesn't see the shmir of Erev Shabbos, which he saw in his youth. In Israel, you see it. You ever been in Israel? Who learned in Israel here? Friday afternoon, what goes on? Nothing is open. It's just a tumult, you know. The food stores are open, but that's about it. Everything's closed, which is the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's in Europe. You know, it's Friday, Chatzos, closed. Prepare for Shabbos. In America, are you kidding? Open for business. Everyone's working till the last minute. And speaking of the last minute, I'm giving you a warning. If you happen to be in the city coming up for Shabbos to Kiryat Maharasha, or vice versa, leave adequate time. Traffic. Especially, and who's from New York City here, raise your hand. Only two happy. I mean New York City suburbs, I don't mean only New York City, and suburbia, that's a much bigger number. I don't know if you've noticed, the traffic's gotten crazy in the last 6 months. I'm not sure what's changed. It's completely in the sugar. Constructions and who knows what, I don't know what it is. More cars on the road. It takes people 2 hours routinely to get from one side of the, you know, from Riverdale to the island, it can take you 2 hours like this on a Friday afternoon. Sugar. It's a 40-minute run. It's more than the Chazanish double this year, the triple this year. Same. So yeah, and so people coming from five towns to try to get to camp, it'll take you 2 hours just to get out of the city. I'm not kidding. They went on the bus this morning? Five towns bus? How long did it take to get out of the city?
A while.
traffic here, traffic there, traffic everywhere. So it's giving you a warning. And it's not just when from Moroshah, it's even within the city. Try to leave early. Don't cut it too close. Because, you know, out of Riverdale, most people come from anywhere south and east have to get near the George Washington Bridge, which is the worst clogged artery in the city when it comes to this time of the day, on a Friday afternoon. It's the worst, the getaway. Even all year long, not just in summertime. So people get stuck all the time and there are major problems. Anyway, so back again, in my view, the custom has arisen that we do not follow those Rishonim. The average man will say none of the above. Not Kiddush, not Ma'ariv, doesn't like near Shabbos. He walks into Shabbos. Where's Tosef Shabbos? So there's some poskim will say we have to say Hinni Mekabel Shabbos or Mizmor Shliyam Shabbos before sunset. No shul does that nowadays. Shuls, you're lucky to finish Mincha before the sun sets. Lucky. So then the Mizmor Shir comes 15 minutes later. So it's that doesn't happen. And therefore there's some who are strict, you know, you have to say I'm here by Mekabel Shabbos and all that stuff. I'm from the lenient view that our custom is not that way. As long as you de facto do not do malacha the last 2 minutes before the sunset, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbos. Okay.
But you're still davening mincha at that point.
You can daven until the sun sets.
You can
like Tuesday.
You have Tosefet Shabbos even while you're still davening mincha.
That's a good question. So hopefully, you know, for the chazan to start Chazor HaShashatz, you should start them before the sun sets. So if you're a private citizen, presumably you ended your Shmoneh Esrei at least 2 minutes before the Shkia to give the Chazan a head start, and you're okay. The Chazan may have problems. He goes into the past the Shkia. There was once a fellow in my shul. He had yard site, and you know there's a very strong custom of yard site davens for the Yomid. He refused. He was afraid that his Chazor HaShashatz would take him past the Shkia. I don't lose sleep over that one. The Gaonim will say, as long as you start before Shkia, it's good during the week. And presumably, there's arguments can be made that it does not conflict with the de facto Tosefet Shabbos and Malacha either. Again, so obviously, you're right, it's better to finish before, but not everyone does that. A woman can make a Tanai, as I said before, preferably by speaking it even in your heart, that I'm not accepting this Shabbos when I'm lighting the candles. Poskim say you should only use it when you need to do it. Okay, you need to do it. I know people who want to go to the coastal of Maravia for Davin Friday night, and they're far away. So they're going to have to walk back. They're going to have to walk twice. They want to go into a taxi like the last minute, you know. So they light candles with the condition they're not accepting Shabbos. Hop a cab, and then walk back. Because they consider it to be an important need to go to the Davin at the holiest place. That's good. That's good. That works. Okay. Now, big question. Must the husband accept Shabbos when the wife lights candles? Another question. Must the wife accept Shabbos when the husband says Baruch Hu? Or, you know, the Mishnah of Shabbos? Very serious halakha questions. Here you'll find me a liberal. I believe in this perspective, in this particular case, I'm egalitarian. That's not my usual mode. And therefore, in my view, in contrast to those of many great rabbanim, much greater than me, in my view, each person, husband, wife, is viewed as a separate entity. And therefore, the wife is not bound by the husband's Kabbalah Shabbos, nor is the husband bound by the wife's Kabbalah Shabbos. That's my take. Not everyone agrees, but so very often when I would, you know, nowadays when our children are growing, you usually don't make late Shabbos. But the children were growing up, make early Shabbos. That's the thing to do. The children should stay up for the meal, so we would make early Shabbos. And my wife is often behind schedule because of all the unbelievable jobs that she's able to do. I don't know how she ever did it. But we'd come home from shul, and she wasn't ready yet. So we would go into a room. We had another little place on the across the hall. and we would not come into the house until they'd come and get us and say good Shabbos. Get the wife of the candles. That's the best thing to do. It's, even though a strict halacha may not be required, but it's very unseemly that the family comes home from shul. Yeah, they're saying good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. And the wife hasn't lit candles yet. That's not a good scene, even if it's not a technical violation. It's just not appropriate. Okay, so we wouldn't walk in until we were ushered in. Got it? Okay, that's my opinion on this matter. Again, there are others who disagree with me on both sides. Fine. There's a custom that a woman, when she lights candles, covers her eyes. And that's part of the idea of what we call limiting the any benefit she gets before the bracha. You know, you're supposed to make the bracha before you do something. Here she's making the bracha afterwards, but since she shouldn't get any pleasure, so she, you know, she lights and covers her eyes and makes the bracha. But that's the covering the eyes, I think, let me just forgive the point, my pun, maybe it used to be a cover, something which is much deeper than that. My experience tells me that a woman, when she lights candles, has the most direct line with the Rabbanu Shalom that anybody has all week long. Watching, I'm usually never home. You know, if you want to be in shul on time, you really can't be there unless they light early enough. But on some occasion, I end up being home with my mother lit candles, or my wife lights candles, and they cover their eyes, and I don't know what they're saying exactly. I'm not sure what they're saying, but what's on the chart there. They're saying much, someone mentioned much longer than that. And always tears, always. No one's looking, wipe away the tears. So that's, in my view, all my shmoneshes of the whole week can come to that, what my wife does in those magical moments. That's really kedusha. You have to see it. That's a very, very important event in a woman's weekly calendar. I mean, no one will ever want to take it away from her. Okay, continue a little bit further. The neiros are mukta, you can't move them. That's an important bit. We spoke about a whole chapter here, he has in this, I'll end soon. A whole chapter was just, that was Perek Mem Gimel. Perek Mem Hei is an entire chapter about neiros Shabbos for someone who's not home. So once again, he tells us that those who are part of a household, right, they fulfill the mitzvah fundamentally, which was goes on in the house. And the woman who lights in the dining room is motzi'ah b'nei habayis, even if they're not home. That's exactly what I told you earlier. It doesn't mean only if your wife lights for you, it means if your mother lights for you. It's fine. It's fine. But if there are others there who are guests and their mother does not light for them at all, what do they do? They should give a penny to the balabasta. I said before. Give a penny. Penny. That's what should be done. And again, if there are many people that can fulfill the mitzvah in partnership, it gives a penny, or you give the oil or whether the candle should be owned by everybody, and that's what should be done. It's a custom, a man comes with his wife to the parents, eat there. The minig is that they light in the dining room where she eats. If they're going back home to sleep, as he says, it's better to light in her house and make sure the lights are lit till she comes back home again. If she wants to light in the dining room, it's better she should light at home, make a condition not to fulfill the Shabbos, and then go light again in the dining room. That's the I told you earlier, he's not a big fan of lighting in the place where you eat, even though there are others who are more lenient. He talks about the hotel, the same thing. which we're not going to go into the details as well. Someone goes to Machna Kayetz. Ah, he finally hit it. Machna Kayetz. So you're obligated in Lagos Neros. If there's a family, you light in the dining room. Okay. That's a chiddush. Why in the dining room? Why not in the bedroom? But you can't light in the bedroom, it's too dangerous. But he says in that kind of a situation, the dining room would work. Sorry, I went a little bit over time, forgive me. I'm supposed to end at 11, that's true. It's okay. You have to seven Shabbos, you have to seven Shir also. You know, a little bit late. But next week we'll try to start maybe on time, a few minutes late today. But don't count on it. Try to come in. Thank you very much. You're all deputized. So look for the stars. Don't forget.